This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
To Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
It's a brother in this case. Go to him, show him his fault between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won a brother over. How do you know that is part of our ministry? It's a ministry of reconciliation, bringing a brother over. What's that mean? Over means bringing them over the failure, bringing them over the sin that they did against you. If they're restored, they're brought over the plan of the devil to destroy them. And your brother is restored. Your sister's restored. I wonder what would happen if all of us in the body of Christ this week said, God, I want to be sensitive, and I'll go talk to anybody you want me to go talk to, and I will seek restoration, I will seek healing, I will seek reconciliation. Wonder what would happen in our counties. Oh, I like this part. If you will not listen, take others with you. Now we're getting somewhere now, God. Because I know a couple people, they can't stand this individual. And the Word says, I'm going to take two with me. They agree with me on everything. Don't expect forgiveness and reconciliation by bringing an unholy alliance. Don't find somebody that just agrees with you with everything and then take them along to straighten somebody out. Do you know how this works? I've experienced this. I know how it works. You go in humility the first time. And if there's agreement, then your brother or sister's restored. If there's not agreement, then it's time to let the Holy Spirit do the next step. And the next step goes something like this. Since I know I'm always right and you've appeared to be wrong, no, that's not how it works. I mean, that happens a lot of times. We don't say it, we think it. Since I'm sure I'm right and I'm sure you're wrong and you're not listening to me, I'm going to come back with brother nail you in the head and sister sandpaper, and they're going to agree with me and we're going to prove to you that you are wrong. No, no. I'm just telling you what divides the body of Christ. Now, if you've come with the right attitude, you've already come saying, you know what, I may not fully understand all of this. But I'm burdened. God has had you on my heart and had this situation on my heart. This is what I understand it to be. I can't judge your heart and I can't judge your motives. I can judge what I saw. And I believe that this is a destructive work of the enemy that I see. But you know what? Who do you have respect for in the body of Christ? Who are a couple people that you know, that you have respect for? You know they walk with God. You know they're going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They're going to be aware of the Word of God. Who do you know that you have respect for, that you'd be comfortable getting together with, along with me, to let the Lord open up our hearts and show us what needs to be done. Do any of you understand what I'm talking about this morning? I'm talking about the difference between division and healing in the body of Christ. This works in our homes. It works with our kids. It works with everything. Now, if somebody's not receptive, then you can't change that. But you can follow the Word of God. This is how it's intended to work. So, you go, you take two with you, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now understand, you cannot bring a charge unless there are other witnesses already. You can come as a brother or sister seeking reconciliation, but you cannot bring a charge to the assembly unless there are other witnesses. So you go, man, I had somebody tell me this one. In fact, I've had a lot of people tell me this. Pastor, I don't understand. You know, I just always end up hearing about everybody's issues and gossip and everything. I don't understand why I always hear all this stuff. Because you're the city dump. Dump. D-U-M-P. Well, what do you mean by telling me I'm the city dump? What I'm telling you is, if you are open to receive criticisms and judgments about the brothers or the sisters, Satan will see to it that it takes place. Now, Rudy, you've been in pastoral ministry. You know how this works. One morning, a lady comes through the door, just coming to church. She came in with an issue. Bunch of issues. I'm like, Jesus, help her! I pray there's a spiritual breakthrough this morning. And that stinking familiar spirit, she didn't even know who she went to. She went directly to a lady in the church that had the same attitude she had. And the two of them got acquainted in 2 minutes, and they were in agreement that the whole body of Christ was rotten to the core and going to hell in a handbag. And they had the answer. Familiar spirits, I've seen it. I've seen it. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. So you've already went individually. You have went in the brokenness of the Holy Spirit. That means there are genuine tears from the heart over this person's soul. Let me ask you a question. Why should God bring more heathens into the church until the church gets the church right? Don't look at me with that tone of voice. Why should God bring more lost, hurting, divided, split, splintered, divorced, dying people into the church until the church is free of what Jesus provided for us through Jesus Christ? Honey, again, I'm just asking for a friend. My wife says this, and I always feel like, huh? What are you talking about? Go, if he listens, you've won your brother. Second step, if not, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, you cannot go to step 3 in verse 17 unless you've gone through step 1 and 2. And we're talking about healing and revival. And then we come to step 3. If he refuses to listen to them, to who? The first that came in brokenness. Now, two others who have come as witnesses. Now, let me tell you what can be a big problem with this. If when you have gone step one, step two, they go, there's nobody I have confidence in. You're wasting your time. If someone says, I've asked people, are you telling me in the whole body of Christ you can't find two people that you have respect for? That you would trust what they say? And I've met some angry, bitter people that will say, yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I don't believe anybody's hearing from God except me. But if someone says yes, and I've had this happen. I had a pastor when I was back north. You know, I have peace in their ministry, and I believe they would speak the word of God. Okay, I don't need to know everything about them or whatever. We can seek reconciliation. And I've seen it happen many, many times. Verse 17. If after you've done the first two steps, he refuses to listen to the church. No. If he refuses to listen to them, the three, now tell it to the church. How is it that we normally start in reverse? We tell it to the church. Then if the church doesn't get it, then we find two or three that'll agree with us and we keep telling it to the church. No, the Word of God says, we've laid it out. Then verse 3, or 17, step 3, if they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, some of you may remember, I believe in practicing this. I believe in practicing the Word. Imagine that. We had gossip that was going on some years ago and approached them and then brought the witnesses in. And then there was no cooperation with the Spirit or the Word. And I told him, I'm going to take this to the church Sunday morning. Huh? A Sunday morning? Yep. Well, why not? Everybody already knew about it. It was a public thing. I'm going to take it to the church Sunday morning. And I hope you attend. And I hope you will receive from the whole church that wants to see you restored. But the church must not give place to demonic activity and division and sin. We must address it. We must deal with it. And they did not come to the church. They ended up leaving. You see, there again, they saw it as being a public lynching. It was not to be a public lynching. It was to say, all of us who love you want to see you restored. Please be restored. Please come to Jesus in this. Let us be restored. But the Word says if it gets to that level, then treat them as you would a pagan, a tax collector, or a tax collector. Now, okay, pagan or tax collector. Treat them as a pagan or a tax collector. So that means I'm going to count them off and say there's no hope ever for them? No. No. You pray for them. You treat them as someone that's lost. You treat them for someone Jesus died for. You treat them as someone that God has sent you on mission to love and invest the love of God into. Why? Because God's desire is reconciliation, salvation, and healing. I trust that you understand how important this topic is. We don't talk about it a lot. But it's not to talk about, it is to establish biblical principles of healing and restoration. Some of you are making the change in your lifetime. And because of your surrender to God, there is, you may not see it yet, but there is going to be an avalanche, a Holy Spirit breakthrough that's going to break through. Because the sins of a father may go to the third or the fourth generation, but then when the blood of Jesus shows up, it breaks the curse of the enemy and it sets the captives free. So you as a godly matriarch or a patriarch, you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So then you have kids, grandkids, and they're like, I have no interest in God. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. You know the scripture, Matthew 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant. You know this whole story where the servant owes like the millions. He comes, he's forgiven, and then he grabs another servant by the throat. Pay back what you owe, verse 28. Pay back what you owe me, he demands. Choking the guy. His fellow servant falls to his knees, begs him, be patient with me, I will pay you back. See, all this is about forgiveness. But this ungrateful servant refuses, and instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant. He's been forgiven, he won't forgive somebody else. This is how serious this is, really serious. You wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had it on you? Now look at verse 34, talking about, you know, this master. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers. Okay, now what was he doing to his fellow servant? He grabs him by the throat and he says, you're going to pay me everything before I forgive you and forgive your debt. In fact, I'm not going to forgive your debt. You're going to pay everything. You owe it and you got to pay it. And so it says, in anger, his master now turned him over to the jailers. And I'm reading from the NIV. Some of you have the King James. Some of you have different translations. You can look at the Amplified. But the language bears this out. Turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owes. How many of you do not want to live with torture? These are demonic spirits. They're tormenting spirits. They're lying spirits. They will say to you, you have no rights to pray for the blessing because this is in your life. You have not forgiven. And then we'll say you have every right not to forgive because of what was done to you. The devil will lie to you on both sides to keep you bound until you should pay back everything. Then verse 35. When was the last time you heard a message on this? This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, unless you forgive your brother from the heart. I know I've been digging into some hot potatoes. We're talking about communion and not making sacrifices to demons while you're coming to have communion with the Lord because some are sick and some have died. This explains why many people have mental illness and are struggling with doubts and unbelief If you've not forgiven the enemy, you release the enemy's authority to torment you. And you say, oh my. Oh my. What can I do? You know, what should I do? How can I deal with this? Well, we deal with this by coming to the cross of Christ. And we stop all the tormentors and we stop all the accusations of the enemy. We get total victory. We get total victory by saying, as I am forgiven, I will forgive. I will forgive. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins. Hamartias, missing the mark. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Once you're forgiven, God gives you the authority to forgive, and in forgiving, you give it back to God. Every time the enemy passes trash, you give it back to God. Comes back, you give it back to God. You hurt, you bleed. You say, I'm not like God. I can't remove it from my mind. It's still in there. Yes, but you don't have to choose to stay there. When it comes, you rebuke the devil. You rebuke the lying spirit. You rebuke the accusation. And you pray for their salvation, and you give them back to God, and you give yourself back to God, so that you are free. So that you're free. Rita Peck. Some of you remember Rita Peck. In our church, we had a Hall of Heroes. We still have the plaques. And on the plaque, we have the names of heroes. Faith heroes. See, we find them in the Word of God. But we also have them in our city. Rita Peck was one of those heroes. Rita Peck, when she was attacked, someone slipped through the cracks, said they needed the restroom. We were feeding people for 11 years, and they knocked on the door. She recognized them, came in, went to the restroom, went to the kitchen, got a butcher knife, came in, and tried to drag her to the communion table to kill her. She fought. I suppose Rita was in her 70s at that time. This was a young guy. She fought and fought and fought. And finally, he gave up and he dragged her into my office, where he would forcefully begin to saw her wrist with a knife. He cut through every tendon in one arm and then made it through seven in the other. I don't know how many tendons are in there, but that's what I remember. When I made it into my office, what I found was carpet like this was totally level with her blood. And with a finger, with the hand, the arm that only had, it had only seven tendons had been severed, she had dipped her finger in her blood that now covered the whole carpet and wrote on the file cabinet who had done this. She thought she was going home to glory. But no, God wasn't finished with Rita yet. telling you a story of forgiveness. Rita lived. And the man was caught. And Rita's in the courtroom. And the judge, as they often do, do you have anyone, you know, anyone else going to speak in regards to this case? And Rita said, could I speak? The cameras are rolling. Rita was a registrar at the high school for years and years. This witness was established all over the region. Rita said, I have something to say. Your Honor, could I speak? He said, yes. She turned to the man and said, I want you to know that I have forgiven you. That doesn't mean that it's okay what you did. It doesn't mean that God has forgiven you. But I want you to know, because I'm forgiven, I can forgive you. And so now, you know, it was an altar call. Now, if you will ask God to forgive you, He too will forgive you.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.
Elohim kore vayikanu ami asher nikra shmi alehem vayitpalelu vayavakshu fanai vayashuvu midarchehem haraim vaani eshma min hashamayim veeslah lahatatam vearpa et artzam. Yeshua omer lanu hayom, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, ha-horeget et ha-nevi'im ve-sokelet et ha-sheluchim eleha. Kama pe'amim chafatzti lekabe